The man on the mic is a dental industry disruptor, innovator, educator, and he's your dental consumer caretaker.
His velvety voice and beautiful lyrics have moved many a generation.
This hour will change the way you think about dentistry. We're online at ddsradio.com. It's time to enter the no crown zone. This is the Dr. Shoup Show. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, hello, everybody. It is great to be here. Thank you very, very much for deciding to join with me. You know, this is where we all get together. We learn things. We share information. We share ideas. You get the information you need to make really high-quality healthcare decisions for you and your family for the rest of your life. That's what it's all about. This program is focused on how to make you, your life, your family better. Really as simple as that. And you know how it works, but I'm going to tell you, we're going to change it up a little bit today. You know, we do Dental School 101, where we talk about specific dental issues and something that we can really kind of dissect down and help you have an understanding of the technical aspect of dentistry. And then we do Ask the Expert, which is where we'll talk about a subject that has some connection to dentistry. Maybe it's not dentally related at all, but it gives you a much broader perspective. I'm going to do a little combination thing today where we are going to kind of run those things together. We're going to take a break between the two segments, of course, but I'm going to report to you a massive amount of information that I am bringing back from this last weekend where I was lecturing in Las Vegas at a three-organization meeting. And I was invited to be one of the speakers, but I'm bringing back all of the information from the other speakers, and you do not want to miss any of this. It is going to be fascinating. We're going to talk about dementia. We're going to talk about inflammation. We're going to talk about testosterone. We're going to talk about teeth. We are going to cover a lot of ground today. So get your pencil, get your paper, hang on to your hat, and here we go. But you know, we always talk about one of our favorite people that comes to the practice, and you get to meet Carol. She went to a new dentist. The dentist looked in there rather quickly, kind of cursory, said, "Oh, everything looks fine." Carol really didn't feel like everything was fine. She came up and saw me, and she's going to tell you what we found, and she's going to tell you she's real happy she came to visit Uncle Randy. But first, what is the key to a long life? Is it good genes? Is it environment? Is it nutrition? What is it? There's a new study out, puts a ton of light on it, and guess what? I'm going to tell you all about it right now.
Time to go under the microscope
and read the news.
Well, I came across this in my normal perusal of all the kind of new information that's out there. And one of the things that really struck my interest about this was this entire research project was funded, began, it was the brainchild of and the extension of a guy by the name of Larry Page. If Larry Page's name sounds somewhat familiar, he was one of the co-founders of Google. And he has taken his amassed fortune and used it philanthropically to fund a number of different research projects. And one of the research projects, one of the things he's very interested in, is longevity, a long life, how to live a long and healthy life. And so he established this really long, complicated name, which is called Calico, C-A-L-I-C-O. It's short for California Life Company. And they've been teasing apart fundamental pieces of biology. He built this really elaborate, incredible laboratory. And they're looking at all this. They brought in a guy, whose name is Graham Ruby. They got him from the University of California, San Francisco, bioinformatics postdoc student to look at all their data, to dissect it down. And here's what they found. By analyzing the pedigree of more than 400 million people who lived and died in Europe and America going back to 1800, all of this was thought that the longevity tends to run in families. Your DNA has far less influence on how long you live than previously thought. So what they looked at in this massive amount of people was that longevity is a family thing. It's not a genetic thing. The results were published this last Tuesday in the journal Genetics. It was the first research to be made public from this collaborative effort. What they say is this: the true heritability of human longevity for that cohort, which is fancy science speak for the really true inherited longevity that you get from this group of people that they studied, is likely no more than 7%. So genetics only plays about 7% of the whole tendency for longevity. But the association you have, familiarity, accounts for 15 to almost 30% of your longevity. So here's what they're saying. This is what, when Dr. Ruby looked at in-laws, things started to get really, really weird. Logic suggests you shouldn't share significant chunks of DNA with your siblings' spouses, okay? Your brothers and sisters, the people that they married. Logic would say, well, I don't have a lot of shared DNA with those people. But in Ruby's analysis, the people connected through a close relative's marriage were almost as likely to have similar lifespans as people connected through blood. So these folks are not blood related. So you can't say, well, all of my blood family have have longevity. We all live. It found, even though no one has shown the impact of assortive mating, and this is what we're going to define, it seems to play a major role. Now, here's the deal. Here's what they found. There's a phenomenon called assortive mating, A-S-S-O-R-T-A-T-I-V-E, assortive mating, which is a fancy way for saying how you select your partner based on what their characteristics are, not their genetics, okay? And so what we find is people who live a long time tend to be attracted to people who live a long time. But the confounding thing is, how do you know that if you're 18, 19, and 20 years old? That's what they're saying. People tend to choose partners in their same income bracket with the same education and degrees, both of which are associated with living longer and healthier lives. So you and I tend to pick partners, and the partners that we pick and the families that they are from, whatever the collective longevity is, that's what your longevity is going to be. It has a greater role in how long you live. So if you want to live a long time, go marry somebody who's all of their family are old. Go find somebody whose grandmothers and grandfathers are still kicking around because they're a long-living group, and marry them. You'll tend to live longer as well. It's brilliant. So there you have it. The secret to living a long time is go find a whole group of people that live a long time and hang out with them. Find one of them to marry. Why not? It's all good. Now, up next, we are going to dissect down this amazing conference. I'm going to tell you who was there. I'm going to tell you what they talked about, and I'm going to share with you. You didn't have to pay money to get on a plane. You didn't have to pay money to go to a hotel. You didn't have to sit in class all day. I did all that hard work for you. I'm going to bring you all that information right after this.
You're listening to The Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at DTSradio.com. If you've had multiple cavity filling procedures, if you're considering a crown or multiple crowns with your current dentist, did you know there are preventive measures to never have a cavity again? Did you know crowns should not be the norm? Experience dentistry done differently by starting now at DDSradio.com and by listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Hey Well, I am so glad that you're here. Thank you very, very much. You know, it's great to have us all get together and talk about these things. And I tell you, I always tell you that I bring things to you that you are never going to hear, never going to see anywhere else. And if there isn't a more perfect example of that today, because I'm bringing you information from a three-group conference that was in Las Vegas, Nevada. I was invited to do what they call a med talk, M-E-D, med talk, since TED Talk is copyrighted and nobody can use it. But it was a med talk, and I was invited to talk about microscope dentistry and the biomimetic dental techniques that I use, where we don't use crowns and so forth. That was what they wanted me to provide. And the three groups were, group number one was called the AAOSH, the American Academy for Oral and Systemic Health. AOSH is what they call them. The second group was the AAPMD, American Academy of Physiological Medicine and Dentistry. And the last group was ACAM, the American College for Advancement in Medicine. Those were the three groups, AOSH, AAPMD, and ACAM. And there were about 1,000 registrants there in Las Vegas. Yes, just like Austin Powers, Vegas, baby. But we were there in Las Vegas, truly the driest place on the planet. Holy cow. If you ever have a stuffy nose, go to Vegas. It'll be gone in a heartbeat. So I was teaching microscope dentistry and biomimetic dentistry in a lecture hall filled with about 800 people. And all of the dentists, the physicians, the MDs, the physical therapist, the occupational therapists, the ear, nose, and throat specialists, all of which were together. We're talking about this whole great group of things. It was stunning to me. I got up and did my presentation, and I had this, you know, you end your presentation and you walk down off of the stage and a whole group of people gathers around you, and half of the room gathered around me wanting to know more about what on earth was I talking about. And that's kind of the great, fun, exciting part of it, but it's also really, really depressing part of it, in that here I was filled in this room filled with really sophisticated medical providers, and there was maybe myself and a half a dozen other people in the room that had ever heard about what I do on a day in and day out basis. And that's why we bring all of this information to you on the radio, because you know about it and you're aware of it, and that's the most important part, how we can get this information to you. So that's what's really, really cool. But I started to then go into more detail after my time to give my presentation. But that was what was great, because there was so much excitement, there was so much enthusiasm, and everybody wanted to know basically about three things. Number one, they wanted to know about how they could get the sealants, those protective sealants on the tops of their teeth, how they could get those for themselves, how they could get them for their children, grandchildren, nieces and nephews. Everybody wanted to know about the sealants, because they had all experienced the same thing. They had been to the dentist. The dentist had put sealants on their teeth, or the hygienist did, or the dental assistant did, and they mostly all had fallen off, and I showed them pictures of all this, and they mostly all had had cavities under the sealants, and they had subsequently had to have their teeth drilled and had fillings put in their teeth, and I showed them what had happened. They were absolutely livid that that had happened to them, and they didn't want it to happen to the ever again, or to their children. So that was the number one thing they were really excited about, how to put on Pitt and Fisher sealants that truly protected the tooth. Number two, how to preserve as much healthy tooth structure, because that's what one of the things I told them. And they said their experience was, their reality was, when they go in and have their teeth worked on, they're significantly drilled on. And so in my presentation, I was showing them how to use the sandblaster, the air abrasion system, and how to preserve all of the natural tooth structure that I possibly could. And then I showed them a quick video, an accelerated video. It was about a 12-minute restoration that I did, and I I speeded it up until it was at about a minute and 45 seconds. And they were fascinated that I could put restorations in teeth that looked virtually exactly like the tooth in such a short period of time, and B, without grinding great big holes in the teeth. And they all wanted to know who knew how to do that, where could they go to get that done. They were tired of having their teeth drilled on. And then the third thing that always brings them up and everybody always wants to ask about, and I stand there and I'm always stunned and amazed, and it's so good and heartwarming that the folks, I mean, they truly are needing to tell me their story about having crowns or caps done on their teeth. And one dentist came up to me and she said, "I wish I had seen you 2 months ago." I said, "Well, me too. Tell me what that's all about." She said, "My mother lives in a different town from where she is, and her mother went to a dentist because her filling had chipped. And she said the dentist told her she had to have a crown on her tooth. And then she had the crown done on her tooth, and then it needed to have a root canal. And so my mother," this is a dentist's mother, "went through the entire process of having her tooth ground down to a crown, it needing a root canal, having to go back in, having to redo the whole thing. And she said, 'In your presentation, I now understand why that happens. I understand how wrong it is. And I promise you, I will never, ever, ever allow that to happen in my practice.'" And so she and I are making arrangements. I'm going to actually be going to where she is and doing an in-service study on all the stuff in-service study for all of the dentists that are in her area, teaching them how they can absolutely positively avoid crowns. And as part of that, as coincidence would have it, I'm back in my office on the Monday right after the seminar. And I have an emergency patient that comes in, and this is a patient that travels from a long way away. And we had restored her teeth with inlays and onlays years ago. And she goes to a local dentist for her cleanings because it's a really long traverse for her. It's about a 4-hour drive for her to get to my office. And she went into the dentist and said, "I think I have a little piece chipped out of one of my onlays." The dentist looked in there and said, "Oh my gosh, yes, you chipped off a chunk of your tooth, and we have to put a crown on it. There's just no other choice. There's been an onlay done, and you have no choice but other than to put a crown on this tooth." And she and her husband talked about it, and she said, "I really don't want to have a crown. Dr. Shoups told me I shouldn't have a crown. I don't need to have a crown." And so she decided to get in the car, come see me, sat in the chair. I looked at the tooth. What had happened is the restorations we had done are perfectly fine. She was chewing something really hard and actually nicked off a little piece of her natural tooth around the restoration. The restoration only was in about a half of her tooth. The remaining half of her tooth was perfect, virgin, never been touched. Her tooth, it was perfect. She sat in my chair. I never had to numb her up. I never had to use the drill. I replaced the little chipped piece with a tooth-colored filling material. It took me a grand total of about 12 minutes. She was perfectly fine. She was perfectly happy. She was perfectly well. She was perfectly back into shape. But another dentist had told her, "Oh, there's no alternative. There's nothing you can do. You have to have a crown on this tooth. I have to grind your entire tooth away. I have to grind the whole thing down to a little nub in order to fix a teeny tiny chip that I fixed in 15 minutes without even having to number up with tooth-colored filling material." So, and what that is, that's a mindset. What that is a belief system. And that's a belief system. Every time you and I generate a belief system in our brain, we start believing something. For example, you believe that, you know, the Los Angeles Lakers or the Indianapolis Colts are the best team ever. Or the only car you would ever drive ever is a Honda, or whatever it is, whatever belief you have. Your brain, my brain, starts to create protective thought processes around that belief. It's a process of protecting our ego, our self. And so it's called brain bias. And so whatever we look at, however we look at the world, whatever comes to us from the world, our brain automatically biases what we think about and how we act based on protecting our belief. So dentists are oftentimes taught in school, this is the only way to go. And so they're taught early on, this is it. This is the only way to go. So every time you see something that looks kind of like this, then you're supposed to say, this needs a crown. Then your brain bias kicks in and supports that. Even though the dentist was looking at a probably 60% intact perfect tooth, the dentist was looking at a really conservative restoration in the tooth that was perfectly fine, but the dentist saw a chipped out piece of tooth, and his brain bias kicked in to protect his ego, how he thinks about himself, to support a belief system that was told to him a long time ago, and he just knee-jerk reaction says, the only thing we can do is put a crown on your tooth. This happens not only in dentistry, it happens everywhere. It happens to everybody. We only see the things that our brain allows us to see that supports what we already believe. And so, happily, along the way, I got exposed to some other stuff that changed my brain belief system so that when I look at teeth now and see a little chip, I see in my brain, let's fix the chip. I don't see, let's grind away the entire tooth and make a crown or a cap for it. You see what I'm going? This happens all the time. It happens to you, it happens to me, happens to everybody. But when we go to a healthcare provider, I don't care if it's a dentist, a physician, I don't care who it is, any provider, they all have this brain bias issue. And so you have to be real selective about who you go to, because in all honesty, in all deference, in all fairness, these people are telling you what they truly in their heart believe, but it may not be right. But you are never going to convince them. It would take me a long time of teaching to teach that dentist that what he said about the crown wasn't right. He's going to have to be willing to risk his ego a bit, or her ego a bit, in order to change their mind. Changing somebody's mind is a hard thing to do. And so that's why you and I need to talk on this program. You and I need to have these conversations. I need to empower you so that when you hear these brain bias statements, you'll know to question it. You'll know to get in your car and don't let somebody grind your tooth down to a little tiny nub. It's just not in your best interest. So, now, we're going to be right back, and I am going to tell you more incredible details, more from a medical physician point of view, about this incredible conference I attended. And you're going to learn about dementia. You're going to learn about inflammation. You're going to learn about hormone therapy. You're going to learn about a lot of things right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at DTSradio.com. He talks about what other dentists don't want to talk about. He creates custom plans for every patient because it's not about in-the-box billables. Time to think outside the box as a dental consumer. This is the Dr. Shoup Show. We've compiled years of resources at DTSradio.com. Listen, then hit the site. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, it's terrific to have you here. Thank you very, very much. And so now we're going to jump knee-deep into the other presenters, a few of the other presenters, three to be specific, from the conference. These are all physicians. They're all MDs, and they presented what I consider to be fascinating information. A lot of things I see at these conferences, I've heard before. I could probably teach it as well as they do. But these doctors brought some information that I thought was fascinating. First, Dr. Ben Maraglia is a physician that is an ear, nose, and throat specialist, and he works with children with airway problems. And you and I have had this conversation, and I will direct you to TV 40. We are going to be presenting on my television show, The Dr. Shoup Show, a specialist actually from Cincinnati that deals with small children and infant airway problems. I'm telling you, folks, this is a massive, huge problem. We have infants, toddlers, young school-age children who cannot breathe. Their noses did not develop correctly. Their nasal passages did not develop correctly. Their oral pharynx did not develop correctly. Their whole breathing apparatus is not developing correctly. And here's why. Dr. Maraglia has done extensive research using ancient skulls, using anthropology as really a means of measuring. And what he's found is, and you and I have talked about this before, in these ancient skulls, there's virtually no crowding of the teeth. The jaws are very wide and very rounded. And there is more than enough room as the upper jaw expands. The roof of your mouth is actually the floor of your nose. If you want to think of it that way, when you put your thumb in your mouth and push it up against the roof of your mouth, you're actually pushing against the bottom of your nose. So as the upper arch, your teeth expand and get bigger, then your nasal passages expand and get bigger. And so here's why he thinks this is happening. It's all because of muscles. We don't eat a robust and fibrous and hard enough diet to exercise our jaw muscles. And by exercising our jaw muscles, the bones react to the stress and the force put on them by the muscles. And they therefore grow and expand and get bigger and do all the sort of metabolic changes that they need to support the musculature. Here's what he finds. Muscles are not being exercised enough from infancy. Therefore, the bones of the jaw, the upper jaw, the roof of your mouth, and the lower jaw are growing smaller. And as these bones stay smaller than what they should be, then the airways stay restricted. That's why we see little tiny kids snoring all the time. We see children with really, really poor airways. And here's what they are having. We are diagnosing these kids with attention deficit disorder. We're diagnosing them with hyperactivity disorder. These kids are tired all the time. They can fall asleep in the car at the drop of a hat. They can lay down on the couch and take a nap. They have behavioral problems. They act out. They are unruly. They are disruptive in their classes. They can't concentrate. And therefore, they do poorly in school academically, but they also do poorly in school behaviorally because they are chronically sleep deprived. They snore. They have high incidence of wetting the bed. These are kids that wake several times at night. The parents will say they're not good sleepers. They don't sleep very well. They have nightmares, and they oftentimes have restless leg where they move all the time where they're sleeping. And the truth about it is that these are all outcomes from a chronically oxygen sleep deprived brain. If it goes on long enough, what Dr. Maraglia is saying is that these kids actually become permanently stunted. It's not a temporary thing. They're medicated through their life. He showed before and afters of some kiddos, various ages, from toddlers to, you know, early in school to teenagers to college age, that all had horrific, terrible histories of every kind of problem imaginable. And he would then work with ear, nose, and throat specialists. He would work with orthodontists. He would work with physical therapists. They would put these kids in orthodontics that would expand and open up the arches, expand and open up the airways, move the jaw forward, really dramatically open up the airway space. And these people had remarkable life turnarounds. unbelievable life turnarounds. And so that was the number one thing. He spoke for about an hour and a half. I've given you 3-minute, cliff note version of it. But if you have a child that can't breathe, snores, snorts all the time, has stuffy nose all the time, has been diagnosed with attention deficit disorder, they're tired, behavioral problems, they can't concentrate, they don't do well in school, they wet the bed, they have restless leg syndrome, all that kind of stuff, get them to me, get them to a really high-quality orthodontist, get them to a really high-quality ear, nose, and throat specialist that knows about these things, and get them some help. Now, number two, Dr. Steve Masley. Dr. Steve Masley is an expert on obesity, and he is of a mind now. He says, we know inflammation. You and I have talked about Baylen-Donin and inflammation and all that kind of stuff. He said, we know inflammation and obesity leads to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and cancer. We know that. That's clear. He says, I'm now adding dementia. He said, I'm going to show you the metabolic pathways of how your body deals with inflammation and how it ultimately rolls over and actually produces the beta amyloids that is a byproduct of some of this pathologic microbiology going on in your body because of all of the inflammation in your body. Because it creates insulin resistance and it leads to diabetes, and diabetes by itself is attributable to about 60% of the dementia that we have. So inflammation, diet, and obesity is absolutely, they're showing a direct correlation between that and dementia. And so he says, we get blood sugar under control, we get insulin resistance under control, we get diet under control, we can instantly eliminate about 60% of dementia. And then he had talked about vitamin B12. Vitamin B12 is essential for keeping away the beta amyloids. And he said it vitamin B12 requires acid to be absorbed. We are on Prilosec and Nexium and stomach acid suppressors. And even though you take a bushel basket full of B12, it won't be absorbed because it hasn't had enough exposure to acid as it goes through your system. And the last one, Dr. Ty Vincent, fascinating man. He's a physician. He's a really skilled and accomplished athlete, and he does hormone replacement therapy specifically for men. And he was saying that there is an epidemic in the United States right now of our young men being significantly testosterone depleted. And he says, here's what we know. We are measuring young men, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 18, 20, he said they all have testosterone levels significantly lower than what they should. And he said what we see is these young men, today's young men, are growing taller. They shoot up like a weed. They get tall. They're thin. They're lean. By any standard looking at them, they look tremendously healthy and fit. The problem is that at about age 12 or 13, testosterone production really starts to kick in. There's usually not much before that. Testosterone, when your hormones in your body signal, we need to start producing testosterone, your growth rate slows. You quit getting taller. And so these men don't get that signal, so they grow real tall. Testosterone makes you bulk up, makes you be stronger, puts muscle on you. These men are thin as a whip. And he said all of the aspects of testosterone deprivation are in these young men. So he said you need to have pretty much any of your young men today tested by a really good endocrinologist that knows what they're talking about, because it'll make all the difference in the world for the rest of their life. Why is this happening? Primarily pesticides, herbicides, and BPA plastics that were exposed to by the mom as she was carrying these kids. And he said anybody born after 1950 is probably testosterone depleted. So there you have it. There's the entire thing, the entire program. Fascinating stuff. Now, Up next, you get to meet my good friend Carol. She went to a dentist and said everything was fine. She was pretty sure that wasn't right. She's going to tell you all about it right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. His patients first can't believe the different approach your host takes from the first visit. And you know what? They continue to love him and his team through the 100th visit. That's what happens. Patients become long-term relationships with a focus on prevention of major procedures down the road, not repeat billables. This is the Dr. Shoup Show, online at ddsradio.com. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Why don't you save me?
Well, it's great to have you here. As you all know, this is absolutely my favorite part of the program because this is where you get to meet a really, really good friend of mine. And I have on the line with us today, Carol. Carol, how are you?
I'm well, doctor. Thank you.
You are so good. Carol is so kind to be on the program with us. She's fairly new to the practice. She listened on the radio show. And I wanted her to share her story because hers is so common. Carol, you just actually came to me after having had a cleaning, and you knew you had some older restorations, but nobody had really said too much about them. So what was there that stimulated you to come in and see me in the first place? And then once we got looking at things, I think I kind of shocked you, I'm sorry, and scared you a little bit about what was lurking in there.
Yes, thank you. I had listened to your show really for quite a while, and I had my dentist retired, and I went to a new dentist, and this always took care of my teeth, had them cleaned. I thought everything was okay, even though I knew I had some older fillings, but I thought, no, I'm going to talk to Dr. Shoup about this.
Well, yeah, if you've gone to somebody for a long time and nobody's really said anything much about it, I mean, what other conclusion would you have? I must be okay. Things must be all right. Yeah, that would be what you would expect.
Well, one would think so. but I did. I had just had my teeth cleaned a few weeks before. And when I came into your office, I found out that, first of all, they weren't completely cleaned.
We get that every once in a while, yes.
And plus, I was told I had some periodontal disease.
And we kind of like to smooth into that. You know, so often folks will go six months after six months, year after year, and you get a fairly superficial kind of, you know, little scrape and polish and fluff, and they look at you for, and you even mentioned this, I think, that the dentist would look at you all for a grand total of 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. They go, you're fine, then out the door. I believe that was your experience, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And I was starting to have some pain in one tooth that I was worried was cracked. I'd had a crown put in years ago, and it was not a good experience. And yeah. The crown's okay, but they had to fix it a couple of times.
Oh, shoot,
And I did not enjoy, even with Novocaine, having that tooth drilled down.
Yeah, there's not a lot of good choices when you're grinding away an entirely, a significant portion of a perfectly good tooth to fix something that could be done more conservatively. So you and I got together, we started talking about what was in there, and so what did you ultimately decide?
Well, I decided that you were telling me the truth. I mean, then you did spend a good amount of time with me, and I decided that everything you said on your radio show was true, and I was looking forward to having some work done without pain and also without getting more crowns.
And so how did I do so far?
Oh, you did fabulous.
Okay, good.
You did fabulous. In fact, the one day where you removed the old fillings
Yes.
that were leaking and prepared my two teeth for the onlays, I went into work, and my supervisor said, "What are you doing here?" And because she knew I was having this work done, she said, "You should be you're going to take the day off, right? You should be lying home in agony." I said, "I didn't even have any Novocaine. I said it didn't hurt."
Well, don't say that too loudly. People are going to think you and I are crazy.
Well, I know. Well, she, I mean, she realized I wasn't, but it really, I was just totally shocked.
Well, and we like shocking people like that. We like you know, giving that kind of crazy surprise, like, oh my gosh, this might actually work out and be pretty real.
Yes, it really was, and I was so glad to be able to have the onlays and not, you know, have you come at me with that awful drill that they use for to prepare teeth for crowns.
Yes, that's I'm on board with you, kiddo. That's why we don't do those hardly at all anymore, unless somebody pinches our arm up behind us and makes us cry uncle. So when we took all the, you had a lot of those old mercury silver fillings in there, and I mentioned to people before, when we took those things out, it was and I even showed you the pictures of your teeth as I cleaned them out. It was pretty darn yucky under there, and you and I really didn't even anticipate that.
No, not really. And you did explain to me that those old fillings would expand and they could cause the teeth to crack, or you could get decay under there.
Sure. And so when we popped yours out, your tooth mm-hmm. looked like a road map under there with all the cracks in it. Poor thing. I feel so bad for you.
Well, but it didn't hurt. Yeah, I think you needed to use MapQuest to find your way down there to the bottom of it. But it didn't hurt at all, and I was so glad to get those old mercury fillings out of there.
Well, yeah, and I'm happy to do it for you, too, because your tooth is significantly healthier now, and all of that leaking and the bacteria that was in there is all gone, and we've sealed the teeth up now, so you should be in really, really wonderful shape on those teeth that we have put back together. Honestly, basically, as long as you're still hanging around here with us, these things are designed to last a long time, which you and I've talked about. You had a lot of dentistry done over a long period of time, and it seemed to be never-ending for you.
Right, yes, the crown and the mercury fillings, and then another tooth had, actually part of it had broken off, but you told me that you could put an onlay on it because the older dentist who retired said, oh, you're going to need gum surgery, we're going to have to do another crown on that. And I just thought, no, I don't want that. So that's why I said I was so glad after listening to your show to find out that you can do this, you know, without, you know, causing extreme pain and using the onlays.
Yeah, and I'm so happy that you came up to see me. I'm so happy that, and your teeth are absolutely delighted that they're not getting all ground down to little nubs, and it's just a treat, and you're such a wonderful person and a wonderful patient. We really enjoy having you and in the office and being part of our family. I honestly, it's a true honor to be able to take care of you. I thank you.
Oh, well, thank you very much, and you have the most wonderful staff. And I love your sense of humor. So that made the dentistry even more enjoyable.
Well, that's good. Yeah, and I tell you what, everybody comments about how good my team is, and my team. I mean, you are right. I take a lot of pride in the people that I work with and choose to work with me. And I tell you what, it would not be as fun of a day if I didn't have all those, have Lisa and Amy and Sharon and Rhonda to look at when I walk through the door, because I know no matter what happens, they're going to make it okay for me. So it's a pretty cool thing, and I thank you for recognizing that. It's really important.
Oh, thank you, Will. It really makes quite a difference in a practice too.
Cool. Well, Carol, I've taken up enough of your time. I really appreciate it. Thank you very, very much. And you have a great day. I appreciate it, and I'll see you at the office next time.
Right. Thank you, Doctor.
All right. Thanks, Carol. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you very much for being here with me today. I really appreciate it, and I hope you got as much excitement out of listening to that as I did giving it to you. When I go to these conferences, it is always fascinating to me, and it's so fun to go to these conferences that has people besides dental folks. You learn so many things that are so important, and when we come back now and I look at my patients and I look at their airway and I look at these little kids and how they're growing, and I look at all the problems, I am so much better equipped to give the patients a much more overall systemic great look at what they're going through and how possibly I could be of some help and assistance to them. I want you to be sure to remember to go to TV40 on your cable listing Thursdays at 11:30 in the morning and watch the Dr. Shoup Show. So, until you and I have a chance to chat again, be sure to brush and floss.
Keep on smiling, 'cause when you're smiling,